It doesn't have to concentrate the mind. According to the author Oliver Bookman in his thoughtful and challenging book, 4,000 Weeks, the average lifespan of the average person is just that, 4,000 weeks. By my calculation, 73 times 4, plus, say, 4 more, takes me to 3,800. Tick tock, tick tock. Can you hear it? The sound of a clicking, ticking clock. My life and your life, circumscribed by time. Relentless, unforgiving, limited, unstoppable time. Tick tock, tick tock. As the psalmist reminds us, so teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Statisticians tell us that the average person lives 25,915 days, of which they spend 7,709 days sitting down, 180 days exercising, 1,765 days socialising with family and friends, 10,625 days looking at a technological device, a TV, a computer, a tablet, a phone. Of all those days, hours, minutes, seconds, some of us have used up quite a few. You'll know that when you're filling in a date of birth, how far you have to scroll down till you get to your year. Ouch. And popular culture constantly reminds us, as Judy Collins sings with such poignant loveliness, who knows where the time goes? Or Shirley Conran reminds us that life is too short to stuff a mushroom. People at funerals look around at the broken fragments of a family at war and they reflect, life is too short to bear a grudge. You might think that life is too short to spend it doing a job you hate, though many do, simply to care for their family. We use these plaintive phrases all the time. How can we save time? Treasure it like a precious resource, cradle and conserve it, because you will need it all. It's important to make time for the things that matter, people, children, as if we can make time. Mike and the Mechanics' haunting ballad to lost moments, irrecoverable loss between a busy father and a lonesome son. I wish I could have told you in the living years. We hate having to mark time. Patience sliding into impatience, uncomfortable experience for all of us, precious time slipping through your fingers, standing on a station platform, waiting for a train that's delayed, fretting, powerless, the sand pouring through the hourglass, and you are helpless to stop it. We need to be careful how we spend time, a limited resource, as we know. As with your money, you want to spend your time well, productively, not squander it, fritter it away. Because to waste time seems almost criminal. Any kind of waste is bad news these days. People are passionate and evangelical about us not wasting water, energy. Yet time? So much wasted by so many people every day. Louis Armstrong got it absolutely wrong when he sang, "We have all the time in the world." No, we don't. We certainly do not. It feels important to make sure that we use the time. As Kipling says, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, use as the earth and everything that's in it. And what is more, you'll be a man, my son. Like it or not, we all live our lives under the steel-tipped jackboot of the tyranny of time. The present, the past, the future. They are what we have. We are who we are in the context of time. That past, that present, that future. It's been said the past is another country. They do things differently there. It's been noted that nostalgia is not what it used to be. Haunted by failures and mistakes, twisted and shaped by damage done to us back then, or wallowing in a sepia-stained sentimentality, people who are predominantly backward-looking can find the past to be a cruel master, can discover that they're locked into it, trapped by it, crippled by it. They miss its imagined simplicities and perceived innocence. They hark back to the good old days when things were better, memories of the way we were. People for whom the words used to become very important, maybe too important. We used to do this and that used to happen, wistful and longing for a past no longer in place. Then there is the future. We might marvel at the optimism that lies behind the advertising slogan that begins, "The future's bright, the future's orange," little realising it might mean Donald Trump is on his way. There are dreamers who fritter away the time in pointless fantasy, pipe dreams. One day this will be, one day that will happen. When my lottery numbers come up, one day my prince will come. When this, when that. On the other hand, some individuals, sadly, are emotionally crippled by fear of the future, anxious and fretful in face of the unknown that is tomorrow. While careless free spenders and people with big appetites for the pleasures of the flesh risk mortgaging their future, spend time now making damaging lifestyle choices that in fact mean they're burying a time bomb for health or finance that will blow up in their faces in years to come. There are those for whom the future is bleak, though they don't know that yet. There are people who are timid and demonstrate a hobbling hesitancy towards the future, afraid to grasp possibilities in case this or that, fearing the adventure, they miss the opportunities that beckon. And it is certainly the case, and indeed probably just as well, that we can't know what's in front of us. All of us have to live with the shadowy uncertainties of the future. And of course, there is the present moment. Or is there? Whoops, there it's gone. Now another. Oh, no, it's gone too. The now is where we operate, function, get things done, where things happen. Decisions are made that make us. And these can only be made in the moment, in the now. At the General Assembly in May, the moderator was very keen that when we came to worship, we should make sure we were in the moment, not thinking about other stuff, not letting other concerns or agendas deflect or distract, just allowing ourselves to be in the moment and letting the moment be in us. The management gurus tell us that the essence of management is to make decisions, and the essence of good management is to make good decisions. And people can respond to that and relish the challenge of it. That's who we want to be in our working life. People who get things done, make important decisions with courage, boldness and definition. Here, now. Yet often those same people are not so at ease with this in their personal choices. Ours is the age of commitment phobia, sometimes disguised as caution and a considered approach. No pressure, please, we say. Let me think about it, we mutter. One day, maybe, we suggest. Eventually, I'll get round to it, we claim. Yet the important things can't be put off or they are lost. I'll think about it usually comes to mean, actually, no, I won't think about it. In fact, I'll stop thinking about it the minute I leave this conversation. The salesman knows that when you walk away saying, "I'll think about it," he can see his commission walking out of the door with you. You know how it is with love. Faint heart never won fair lady. Will I, won't I, ask or not ask her out on a date? Doing nothing is, in effect, choosing not to ask. Not to decide, not to choose, not to make the move. Our big, important, life-affecting decisions are made in the now. For love. There now, I've said it. Will you marry me? For children. Yes, let's try. For work, do you accept this job offer? You have to decide in the now. You can't hide behind the future. One day I might let you know, sometime at some at present unspecified moment, I'll tell you my answer. Look, there's someone on the end of a phone with a job offer. Are you going to take it? We need your answer now. Now. The congregation is there in the church. The best man has the ring. Will you take this woman? Do you? Not someday over the rainbow, I'll make my mind up. But now. And it counts for faith. That same dynamic is unavoidable, as much part of our experience of faith and our encounter with the God who calls us as it is in any other aspect of our human condition. The challenge and the invitation and the opportunity of faith is in there among the other big moments, the other big choices. Do you take this man? Will you take this job? Will you get on the plane? Will you sign the consent form for the operation? Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Those times and decisions when we want to know now, we have to know now. The past is irrelevant, the future is useless. We must choose now. That was the tragedy of the Pharisees at the time of Christ. Either so thrilled to the glories of the past or so focused on a misbegotten messianic formula for the future, they failed to see right there with them in the here and now on the streets of Jerusalem the King who was present. The kingdom of God was there among them. Too preoccupied with the past, too blinkered in their view of what the future must be like, they misunderstood the moment and they missed him. Deep inside us, we are a little fearful of the pivotal moments. Yet we're glad of them too because they make us who we are. How we decide determines who we are. Our present choices shape our future experience in the profoundest ways. Even when our choice is to do nothing, we're actually doing something. All the things that mattered most to us were decided in the now. We're not talking about pressured situations, the kind of timeshare stuff when someone gets in your face and pushes hard out of their mercenary motivations and get you in a corner and they turn the emotional screw. We're not talking about impulsive, thoughtless, irresponsible stuff. But when we recognise that really I do know enough, actually, and I've listened to the arguments, and I see what is at stake, and it's no longer enough just to hang about, I want to be in. Count me in now. I have to decide, and I will decide. We know ours is a time and a generation in which people are reluctant to be committed. We like to keep our options open. Fair enough. Sure, we understand that. But there is a time when the debate has to stop and we have to cast our vote. Not one day. Our vote in the present moment. As Brutus says, there is a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and misery. On such a full sea we are now afloat, and we must take the current when it serves, or lose our ventures. I do believe that sometimes the challenge of the moment, the invitation of the now, has to be offered. The way of decision laid before people, when it comes to faith and following, when it comes to accepting a leadership responsibility within the mission of the church, now. When it comes to our call to full-time Christian service, now. When it comes to choosing to be a disciple of Christ, in fact, we are ready. We sometimes just need to be asked. As we sing our next hymn, the question is asked of us. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? He is asking. You.